I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All righty, hour number two right here on Tiki and Tierney. Hopefully everybody's doing well on this Friday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206, Twitter, on the Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. What else we got here? What else, did I miss anything? Radio.com. A lot of different platforms, of course, Tiki. And really the biggest platform for these young draftees, eventual draftees of the NFL. Justin Jefferson we had on the show the other day from LSU. We had Antoine Winfield Jr. on yesterday. Outstanding safety. Although he could bounce around the secondary from Minnesota. The Gophers, great season. And as Pops, of course, played in the NFL. So we're obviously doing all this as we usually do it, despite these circumstances that are very much out of our control and very daunting. We're still obviously focusing on the draft. But Roger Goodell took a very interesting step last night when he sent out a memo to all of the teams in the NFL that they should prepare for the draft to go on as is, April 23, April 25. And, yeah, there'll be some slight adjustments based on the information they receive from the CDC and the WHO. But not only are we moving forward as promised, you better stop making us look bad and stop criticizing the decision as some people around the NFL have.
I wonder what repercussions are going to be in store for general managers or organizations if they do say something. What are you going to do? Like, fine them for conduct detrimental? You know, I mean, it's
insubordination.
But can you fine someone? What are you going to
do? Whatever you want.
Look, I get why Roger Goodell wants this to go on. The more you, you know, delay the start of what's happening throughout the league year, the harder it is to start the season on time. And the last thing that the NFL needs is this season to get pushed. Because if it gets pushed and it goes back even 2 or 3 weeks, you really get crunched on the back end. And I can, you know, you can spare a week or two because of the bye week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. Like you can mitigate it a little bit. And so instead of getting into March, maybe you're late February as opposed to early February, as the Super Bowl always is. But if you get pushed back a month or two, I mean, forget it. There's no way to fit in 16 games. And then that 17 game proposal that you're, you know, starting to propose and push out to media gets undercut because this season they're not going to have enough product to put out. So I get it from an NFL standpoint, but I also feel for the general managers. And I know we had Amy Trask on. And she
stop
says
feeling
it's not
bad
easy.
For them. Come on.
But it's
deal.
Hard. It's hard to come to consensus. Like the reality is, you know, forget like I got to go get an extra look at XYZ at CeeDee Lamb. I got to go make sure that Tua Tagovailoa is actually healthy if I'm going to take him. It's, you know, and that's the surface problem. The bigger problem is like, what about the guy I was looking at in the fourth round or the fifth round or the sixth round who I have no idea? I understand that may be, you know, overblown how hard it is to get intel on those guys. But to be all together and come to consensus and get a cohesive and coherent draft board, that's impossible right now. These facilities are all closed. And so in a month, they're going to have a draft. Less than a month, they're going to have a draft. And they haven't had any conversation about this. Now, I guess you can do it all remotely. You can put it on Zoom. You can put it on, you know, FaceTime, whatever, you know, technological platform you want to use. You can get it done, But it's just very different. And it's hard to, just like as we know, as parents, it's hard to go do something you're not used to doing. Hey, go teach your kid. Mm. We'll give you the resources. It's awesome. It's easy. You guys will be fine.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. You won't be no yelling going on in the house. What are you talking about? Your kids will love you just as much at 7 o'clock at night as they did when they woke up in the morning. I mean, come on. It's just unique. It's new. And it's unprecedented. And nobody's been thrown in this situation. I get why they have some angst, even if they would be able to do it.
Listen, I understand why they have some angst as well. And as much as I refute and shoot down any resistance to pushing the draft back, I mean, I'm also sensitive to what Tiki just said, which quite literally is true when you get beyond the superstars. And, you know, there's thought to be probably four offensive linemen going round one.
Yep.
What about the eighth or ninth best offensive lineman? That very well might stabilize and fortify your team for the next 5 to 6, 7 years, but he's not a household name, or he's not thought to be a first day or maybe even a second day guy. I get it. I understand that there are long range and long reaching repercussions, but I want to hit it from this angle for a second. Let's fast forward to draft night. Let's pretend today, right, instead of being March 27th on a Friday, let's pretend tonight is April 23rd, okay? And aside from the fact that I would have a couple of $1,000 in chips in front of me because we'd be in the casino right now, we'd have 5 scotches each, we'd be having fun, we will be in our lockdown seclusion office again, and because Teague and I were going out there for the draft, obviously. Yeah. Now we're not. We'll be doing the home. We'll be doing our show from home. I fully believe that in a month. But just think April 23rd, all right? Draft night, okay? Major League Baseball, still nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. Zero chance, zero, that baseball is going on. The NBA, 0% chance the NBA is back. NHL, 0% hockey is back. And there's no golf because we know the U.S. Open's getting pushed back, and that's in June, the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. So as we fast forward a little inside of a month, right, I don't care. Like, everybody's concerned, like, oh, God, how are they? What's the mechanics? Where are they going to be? Are they going to be on Skype in the team's headquarters and, you know, parachute into somebody's home and get them up on the two-way receiver? They could do the draft with two cans and a string. It doesn't matter. We're going to be like crack addicts sniffing and searching for needles or something to smoke. We will watch that no matter what channel, no matter what time, no matter who hosts, no matter if they do it from Saturn. It does not matter. Might be the highest rated draft of all time.
I mean, to be honest with you, BT, given the circumstances, I guarantee you it will be the highest rated draft of all time. Because what else, you know, are you watching?
Nothing.
Sports fans are going to be dialed in to, did I get better? Who did I draft? Oh, yeah. I took that dude. At least for the first round. After you get into the second round, it's going to be a little bit more complicated. But you know what? Actually, when I think about this, and I'm just thinking from a fan standpoint, like, you know, once you get past the first round, even the second round, it gets like really quick.
Yes, no doubt.
It starts happening so fast.
It's more enjoyable in a lot of ways, second and third round.
That's exactly right. Yep. So now in the first and second round, because there's not all that pomp, and at least we assume there's not going to be all that pomp and circumstance, it actually might go faster in some regards. And even if it doesn't, the detail that you dig in on the players. So say the Jets, where are you guys drafting? You guys
11.
11. So the Jets at 11th. Take whoever it may be, offensive lineman.
Or it's going to be either the top receiver or one of the top offensive linemen.
Yeah, so let's say you take CeeDee Lamb. So the Jets take CeeDee
Lamb.
That'd be awesome for you guys, by the way.
TD for CeeDee. Oh,
and
Sammy's flushed. He's got CeeDee Lamb streaking down the middle. Darnold off his back foot. He's got him. And it's hauled in by Lamb. And he's in the end zone. Touchdown, Jets.
Except for he threw an interception instead.
Stop.
Just joking. Stop. But now you can, because everything is all digital, you can actually like really engage. Like, you can actually have like, hey, let's go to Sam Darnold, who's standing by on via FaceTime,
you can
or
do
whatever,
that.
Like whatever.
What do you think about your new receiver, Sam?
Exactly. You can do whatever because it's not constrained to like a studio broadcast like it has been, you know, for the
last
forever long. Now we're testing today on for CBS Sports Network. Mm-hmm. You know, can we put this thing on TV remotely? And so anything can be done remotely. I think it could add new and different elements that the NFL hadn't even thought of yet, because they've done it traditionally for so many years.
Teague, as I was just screaming the Darnold CeeDee Lamb touchdown, because
Colton got excited.
He came running by the door. He knows that it's closed. He knows daddy's on the air.
Yeah.
You should have seen his face. I'm raising a real football fan here, boy.
I tell you.
I just hope that the Jets give him a little more love than they give me over the years, man. Oh, God.
Hopefully by the time that he is old enough to, like, go by himself.
Yeah.
What, 16, 15?
Hey, no, I'm not letting him go to a game when he's, well, 15.
I went by myself I think I was like 14 or 15. I told you the story. Went to the Redskins game. My aunt had tickets, and me and Rondé went. We were like nervous as hell. What's going to happen? Maybe 17. Maybe 16.
Yeah, 15's a little young. Maybe, 15, maybe I would take him and his buddies.
Yeah, maybe 17 he can go by himself. By then, so 12 years from now, the Jets will have figured it out.
Yeah, but that's what
I promise.
People were saying about me a long time ago.
That's
and
a good point.
That hasn't changed.
That's a very good point.
I mean, listen, really, with the Goodell stuff here, I know that Goodell elicits emotion, and most of it's negative. Like, most fans just inherently trust Adam Silver and believe in him, his vision, his transparency. Most baseball fans are incredibly skeptical and dubious of Rob Manfred right now. Bettman's a little bit all over the map, the NHL commission. Football fans just, they don't line up and defend Goodell. And I get that. I understand why. But I really think he's spot on here. And I said this the other day on the show, and I said the exact same thing that he said. I mean, I'll transcribe or paraphrase what he said. But what I said was, you can't, even if you placate people, all right, it looks bad. Let's push this thing back. There's no way we can go on with this. It's just too much unknown. Let's push it back from April 23rd to May 23rd. What if we haven't flattened out the curve yet?
Yeah.
What if the numbers are still rising? What if we're in a place that is, God forbid, really, really worse than where we are today? We kick it back a month from now we're back into June.
That's a good point. And then once you get back that far, you really run into the problem that I started the segment with.
Correct.
Which is like the season gets pushed. And once the season gets significantly pushed, you just, there's no time. You just can't, there's not enough calendar to fit in what needs to fit in for the NFL, because you can't take alternate measures like Major League Baseball. Let's play some doubleheaders, or shorten the season because we play too many damn games anyways, or the NBA where it's not as impactful if you miss a few games. In the NFL, you miss a couple of games, it determines who makes the postseason, and who's going forward, or who's getting fired, or who's not signing a free agent deal, or whatever it may be. There's too many moving parts in football to have delays in missing games like some of these other sports can afford to.
And listen, sometimes, and this will not get you great enthusiasm in the court of public opinion in terms of defense rallying behind you, again, specific to Goodell, but being unapologetic in your views and your stances is not always a bad thing. Like, being rigid.
At least you're convicted. You're right.
No doubt, man. Being rigid, it has a negative
connotation.
Oh, this person's inflexible. He's rigid. He's beyond compromise. He doesn't see the other side. He can't possibly, he can't possibly do what's best for the greater good. But sometimes when you try to, again, placate this group of people, independent of the coronavirus, because we're all involved in this, obviously. But, you know, when there's no one universal answer, and you try to put out a small fire, and you flip something or you change something, and then, oh boy, this voice is distressed. Oh, what do I do for them? You wind up playing the whack-a-mole game on the boulevard at the beach. So just stick to what you said, because that's the best thing for your sport. And
I
if people don't like it, tough.
And at the end of the day, there's one thing that Roger Goodell has always done really well, BT, and it's create circumstances to keep making money. Right. And I don't care if the players don't like him because he suspended a few guys, or he approached, this Deflategate the wrong way, or the Ray Rice situation, or whatever it may have been. He's always, always worried about the bottom line.
Yep.
And the owners love that. And by extension, the players have to love that as well, because the salary cap has gone up $10 million each of the last 3 years. In a couple of years, it's probably going to shoot up by 20 because of gambling and other stadium naming rights revenue, other streaming distribution channels that are sure to come in. Right? The money has always been right with Roger Goodell, and you can fault them for all types of things. That you cannot. And this, I think this draft, keeping it where it is, has a lot to do with that.
Yep, is what it is. All right, T, coming up next here. So the NBA is probably going to be, probably is going to be delayed. But LeBron still singing the same tune that he was singing a while ago. LeBron James, what did he say? And who's knocking on my door? Is this another package? And by the way, Does Tracy order as many packages
as
my wife orders?
You have no idea.
What the hell's coming to our home every
day? Amazon is staying alive because of us.
It's great. What are you ordering? Jeez. We'll get to the LeBron stuff. This is going to be a great segment. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this. It's really good. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. It's 1-855-212-4CBS. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. So hopefully everybody's chilling on this Friday and just moving forward. Obviously, these circumstances are what they are. And until they change, we are rolling it together for sure. And we're just doing the show and hopefully providing a little bit of a respite, a little bit of a temporary reprieve from it's certainly a different schedule for all of us, no doubt. And by the way, T. Christian Fulton, the former LSU cornerback, NFL draft prospect, will join us coming up next segment. That'll be pretty sweet. Let's get to the LeBron stuff here. So LeBron was on Richard Jefferson's podcast. I think Channing Frye, I think they were doing a little bit of a Zoom because it looked like they had four people on that thing. I know, yeah. Right? Channing Frye was there.
Yep.
I think somebody else, but I know it was the podcast for RJ and LeBron. They're obviously boys, played with each other, and he hit a multitude of issues, one of which was, and I asked you about this the other day, actually, that it would be, is it maybe a bit of a misnomer that this is actually good for the body, this interruption, this prolonged, detachment from the game? And he actually said it's the opposite. I thought that was interesting. That was one thing. But the thing that's really gaining the most headlines here is, again, he went back to the well of not playing in front of fans. And again, much like he did a month ago when he had a backtrack, even though he backtracked from that back then, he's still remaining married to this. And I'm surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not, BT, because he gets it. He gets that sport without fans is not really sport. And like he jokingly says, if we're going to do that, we might as well just go scrimmage in gyms and put, you know, live stream it. In some ways, he's got a point. Like, I think about this, and I know this because I experienced it in, on a professional level. I mean, you did on a college level and internationally when you travel for baseball. But on a professional level, when you walk into an arena and get on that stage, and it's just intense, and whether it's Philly where they hate you and it's loud, or it's at home and like they're lifting you, there's something to that, right? There's something that you can't really describe or put into words, but it is an emotional feeling. And I think that's what LeBron was talking about. He's talking about how, you know, even on the road in these hostile environments and these guys are screaming at you and you want to kick the ass of the guy on the other bench, but sure, you also want to, you know, take it to the fans as well. And so without that, some of it's lost. It's just not the same. Like the sport wouldn't feel the same. It wouldn't sound the same. The emotional highs and lows wouldn't be there. And so while it's necessary for all reasons to keep fans out of arenas, especially in basketball right now, mm-hmm, I can see why he doesn't want it, because it just won't feel like the same game. Now he'll go do it, I'm sure, because it's all about, you know, performing and positioning himself for another championship. But all of that extra that we talk about that fans and players use collectively, it just wouldn't be there. And I don't know if I would love that either.
Yeah, but
as a player, I
got it. And listen, I obviously can't relate to that. I can't relate to walking out of a tunnel. I'm a pretty, you know, a pretty vivid imagination. When my mind wandered there as a kid, boy, it felt pretty damn good. I can only imagine what it's like rolling out in front of 20,000 people at the Garden to play basketball, or 50,000 people at Yankee Stadium, or at the Rig, or at Fenway, or San Francisco, or in St. Louis, Busch Stadium, or 80,000 people at Heinz Field, or MetLife, or, you know, Foxborough. I mean, I can only fantasize. I get that. But I do believe that it's still a disservice to the situation. The more he says this, and I'm not saying that he's wrong, but he's stating the obvious. We all know that aesthetically it would be very tough and the ambiance would be neutral and it would seem very very boring on TV, but dude, that's what you're going to have to do. So when you keep saying it, I just think it's a disservice to the situation.
But why? Because it gives the NBA and less incentive to get back on the court until this thing is cleared enough for fans to come. I mean, but so why?
Why?
I mean, he's just expressing his opinion.
I get it.
He might not be the same player.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
some guys need that. Some guys need it. Like they actually need it. Like they need the anger. And I'll give you the perfect example because we were talking about him yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago with Sean Taylor. You know, the Washington Redskins, now deceased, may rest in peace, safety. He was great. That dude used energy from fans and adversaries to make him, like, hate you as an opponent. And so if the fandom is gone,
yeah,
as a result, the energy on the field is dampened. I wonder if he's a different player. You know,
was he a different player when he was playing in the schoolyard when he was 14 years old?
See, I don't know that.
No, of course not.
I only know my experience with him as on a football field where he's screaming at me to go, you know, F myself over and over and over and over again after, you know, spending a week or so with him in the Pro Bowl. He's like, hey, what's up, bro? You know, things going. Like he had a switch,
mm-hmm,
right? And a lot of that's because of the arena. I think the arenas are going to be antiseptic. It's going to
They are going to be. I'm not debating that.
It's going to hollow.
100%.
Kind of like, dude, what are we even doing out here?
Well, you're pursuing a championship is what you're doing. You're doing your job.
Yes.
Is what you're doing.
Teams, yeah, the Lakers are going to be pursuing a championship, and the Clippers are going to be, and the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be pursuing a championship. But what about, you know,
The Knicks and the bad teams, the Cavaliers? I'll tell you what you're doing. You owe it to your sport. You owe it to the integrity of the sport to finish out the season with a modicum of purpose because you could affect playoff seeding.
Okay, but think about this. If you're the Cavaliers, because are they the worst team in basketball right now? I don't have the standings in front of me. I haven't looked at them in 2 weeks now.
Are they
Let's just say that they are. Well, the Warriors probably are, to be honest.
Warriors have 12 or 13 wins, I want to say.
So I think the Warriors are different because Steph Curry is back. So that's a little bit different. But let's say the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have fired their coach. They're on an interim, though not an interim because he doesn't have the interim tag per his contract. And they're not really playing for anything. And there's nobody in the arena. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not even no ushers. No, nobody. You know, the only people that are clapping are the coaches on the bench. Everybody's disengaged because the season's winding down. There's 10 games left. Like, if you're a fan, and that's on TV. Are you watching that?
Yes.
There's no chance in hell.
Teague, I wish I had. Now, tonight, I don't need
now the, you would.
Exactly.
Because there's no other alternative.
But you'll have no other then because there'll be no baseball in all probability.
I mean, if basketball's back, then baseball's probably coming back, right?
I guess you could maybe. No, but baseball's different because they've got to be able to get the arms loose. Baseball's got at least 2 or 3 more weeks tacked on to when the virus is stabilized. I'll put quotes around that. And it's deemed safe to go back into the public sphere and get away from the 6 feet of separation and distance, social distancing. I really believe the NBA is going to be the first sport that gets back on the field of competition because while baseball would probably love to adhere to the same timeline, they just have different complications based on the arms. And we've talked about this.
Yep.
But here's my problem. Okay. First of all, it's not like the NBA is saying, you know what, we're going to give you 1/20th of your salary. You're still getting paid every penny, number one. Number two, I view this as and I don't know if everybody's going to feel me on this, but I guarantee those who do will be very passionately with me on this. I believe it's just an extension of these guys viewing themselves as something more than an athlete, like Hollywood stars. Like their fandom is so big, they can't fathom walking into an empty arena without 30 sycophants taking pictures to see what dopey, stupid outfit they're wearing.
But they
can put it on social media. But that's not what got them to the NBA.
Of course
it's not. What
got
them to the NBA was being great at their sport. And if they could still play their sport, then they need to play their sport.
Yeah, I hear you, BT. But think about what it's evolved into. We watch these games when there's like thousands of people in arenas, and these guys kind of sometimes lollygag around like they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like when there's nobody in the arena?
Well, then that's up to the organization. That'll speak about your organization. I think organizationally, those who are buttoned up and professional and are trending in the right direction, there'll be a semblance of order and discipline and professionalism.
Yeah, those competing for a championship or a playoff berth. Well, but those that aren't, and that's like half the league, yeah, they're going to be like, what the heck are we
doing? But I don't think there'll be many games like that. And to LeBron's point, maybe 5, maybe 10 max just to get the legs going.
Yeah.
I just wanted to end it on, I've said some of these names here, but I do think it's important because I think there's an interesting correlation between this generation and really many generations of the past. But, you know, Warren Spahn, all right? You know, Bob Feller's a name I throw out quite a bit, so I've got some different ones for you real quick, though. Warren Spahn was in the Battle of the Bulge. Warren Spahn is one of the greatest pitchers of all time who was a very important figure in World War II. Tom Landry, okay? Tom Landry was an Army Air Force pilot in World War II, more than 30 combat missions, 30. Ted Williams, the greatest hitter of all time, had his career interrupted for naval aviation deployments. Hank Greenberg was a two-time MVP, was the first American leaguer to register for the nation's first peacetime draft, okay? And Rocky Blyer, a little more recently, forget about World War II, drafted into Vietnam. So all these guys, this is what bothers me. It's not about the ambiance. Yeah, it's going to suck. It's going to be quiet. You're going to hear the ball bouncing in the rafters. I understand that. But you had guys, gentlemen, heroes of this country, who stuffed their bodies in planes and were shot at and didn't complain at all. And LeBron keeps talking about empty arenas. Shut up. Yeah, honestly, shut up with this.
At the end of the day, though, the game is so different. The money is very different.
But the world shouldn't be that different.
But it is.
Well, let's then that's it. Wrong. That's wrong.
It's not wrong.
That part's
it's different.
Wrong.
It's not wrong. It's different.
That's right? Wrong for me.
All of those names that you talk about didn't have the financial, they weren't turning into millionaires being athletes, right? Back then, being an athlete was a job. Right, so it was easier to, I guess, walk away from, so to speak.
Yeah.
You were raised differently. It wasn't about you. You didn't seek sycophants, to use that word, which is a great one, by the way. but it was different. People were brought up differently. Yep. Now they're brought up to be egalitarian, and it's one of those things that
interesting.
I don't necessarily think is great for society, but it is society right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting discussion. We'd love to get some tweets on this. By all means, hit us up at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. You know, it's just amazing. I know it's a long time ago. You're talking about the 1940s with World War II. I get it. But, you know, LeBron James, if there was, I mean, this is a war. This is an invisible war, as has been referenced many times. Clearly, a germ war, an illness war, a virus war. But if there was a literal World War III, LeBron James isn't getting drafted. Steph Curry's not getting drafted. I'm not getting drafted. You're not getting drafted to go fight for our country in World War III against our wishes. And by the way, if I was younger and there was a draft and I didn't have a family like this, I would sign up willingly. I could never prove that, but I just know what makes me tick. I would absolutely go and do it. So, but all these other guys that I just ripped off 5 names, it's not like they had a choice. They get drafted. You go. I know it's a long time ago, and I know that the money changes perception and what you can control. I get it, but it just seems petty. That's the word I'll use. It seems petty to continuously talk about empty arenas when athletes before you had far greater concerns. That's all I'm saying. You know where I stand. That's all I'm saying. All right, you want to get the last word, or are you good on that team?
No, I'm good, man.
All right, brother.
I'm good. Right.
Getting a little sweaty in here. I'm getting worked up, man.
I can see
the AC going. I love it. You know, I mean, I stand by what I just said.
Of course
said.
I do.
I know. All right. Christian, by the way, I'm watching the kids try to play in the street. It's so sad. Like my neighbor Dennis has the football in his hand. He can't even throw it to anybody. Like, seriously, because
I hate the
you
laugh
touched
that,
it. And
I know what you mean.
It's so depressing. Look, yeah. Everybody's got their little bike helmets on, and everybody's like in a circle, like, again, like so, like a, actually more like a rectangle, so far away from each other. Yikes. All right, Christian Fulton, former LSU corner, draft prospect. We'll get to that coming up next, right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Another good one, Teak. A little darker. Another good one, though. This is good. Okay, so we know that you want to see some college hoops this time of year, so we got you. CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long. NCAA Tournament Rewind. They've been doing a great job just trying to keep the basketball junkies like us alive in terms of the basketball sense and relive some of the best moments from March Madness all weekend long. CBS Sports and, of course, CBS Sports Network. So they're doing a great job with that. Follow them on Twitter at CBS Sports Network, and you'll know exactly what the menus are. They've done a nice job of advertising them as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll get to this at the top of the hour. Finally, some solidarity with baseball and strong messaging. Baseball and the players, they've actually agreed to a deal during the stoppage. What do they agree on, and is it the right move? Finally, some consistency from baseball. But, Tiki, we're joined now by a terrific prospect, plays corner, LSU, champion. And we had his teammate Justin Jefferson on the other day. Christian Fulton, LSU corner, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney as he gets ready for the draft and navigates this crazy time like all of us. Christian, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
How exciting of a moment is this for you? Obviously, there's a lot of other things going on in our country, in our world right now. But how exciting is this? You're getting ready to take this step. We always love asking these prospects, like, how exciting is this? It's got to be amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of getting surreal, you know, now that we're less than a month away now. So just kind of trying to soak it in at the moment. But, you know, still a lot of work to be done, you know, until that time comes.
How are you keeping busy right now? I mean, I know you can't really work out with other people, but how are you staying in shape? Because when this thing happens, it's going to seem like it's going to happen quick, and then ultimately we don't know what pro days or OTAs are going to look like. But how are you? What are you doing right now?
Just trying to make it work for myself. You know, I know they say we can't be in like busy areas, so you know that just sort of tells me, you know, to go outside, you know, and try to run. I stay by a levee, so I'm running on the levee as much as I can, you know, trying to do at least a little bit of DB work, you know, to stay in tune with things, like you said, for when, you know, like camp and things do come. So just those little things, you know, there's always ways you can make it work.
I don't know if you'll love the reference or get it, but it sounds like you're bringing the Chevy to the levee there, a little Don McLean. That's an old – I have a homework assignment for you, Christian. Don McLean, it's one of the longest songs of all time. Led Zeppelin's got a long one, and Don McLean, American Pie. You just mentioned the levee. That's a prime piece of the song there. So go check that out while you're actually running the levee. Get you inspired, okay?
Nice.
I got you.
So you know what you should do? If I'm you and if I'm the rest of the guys on defense and I'm the guys on offense, obviously I'm talking about your former LSU teammates. Forget about even having, because the pro day is obviously compromised. All I would do is send them a little practice tape. Hey, look at us going up against each other. This guy's going in the first round. That guy's going in the first round. That guy's going in the first round. Look at how I defended them. Your practices must have been incredible.
I'm going to tell you this. That's a great idea. I really might have to do that.
Hey, man. You see?
But yeah, it was definitely was fun, you know. All my 4 years, you know, going up against some great receivers, but this last year in particular was special, you know, going up against guys every day in practice. You know, it just made Saturdays real easy for me, you know. Going against those guys, you know, they're the ultimate competitors. You got Jamar, you know, Justin, but you know, they're great receivers and they give you a lot to work on. You know, they give you a chance to find, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses.
You know, Christian, we talked to Justin yesterday, and you know, he was talking about how the defense at LSU has always been the strong suit. It's something that you guys have always had great pros come from, and there's a lot of pride in that side. But, you know, when you saw this offense start to take off like it did last season, because you were there 4 years, as you mentioned, were you like, it's about time you guys handled your part of the business here?
Definitely. We knew they were going to be a problem springtime. You know, Joe Brady came in the spring and they were clicking off top. You know, I believe like right after the season, Joe had the guys throwing, you know, right after the season, even before spring. So they were already in sync by the time they got into spring. And around that time, we knew for sure they were going to be a problem.
So, you know, I'm trying to look at all these prospects here and It's an interesting draft because we know there's a boatload of wide receivers. We know there's at least the way it's positioned now, and obviously this could change, Christian. It's subjective now, so you never know what somebody's kind of thinking, maybe hiding from competitive sake. Probably four offensive linemen that go in the first round. We know about Okuda. We know about Chase Young. We know about the quarterbacks who are going to go high. Right now, Christian Fulton, if I said, all right, man, where do you realistically expect to get drafted? What range are we talking for you?
I would say about 9 to 20. I don't know, 9 to about, I'd say 9 to 32, because there's a lot of teams, you know, that need corners, you know, with all the moves that's going on right now with free agency. It's a lot of teams, you know, that are looking for corners. So I would say a lot of the guys, including myself, would start going around there at 9 and 32, I would say.
I don't disagree. You're absolutely a first-round talent. That goes without saying. I was curious where you thought, you know, could you slide into the back end of the top 10? And 9 through 32 obviously paints a pretty wide picture. But I want to ask you this directly because you don't get to this point, and my partner lived this. He was a great player in the NFL, as you know. You don't get to this point without being supremely confident. And while you respect others, you obviously fear nobody. But the way it goes is, you know, most people say Okuda is absolutely the first corner going. Why should you go ahead of him?
I mean, like you said, credit his game. You know, he has a great game. But just from a competitive standpoint and, you know, through everything that I've been through that most people may not know, you know, just a fighter, you know, to fight through adversity, you know, passes are going to be given up. But, you know, I feel like I bounce back from those passes that I've given up. I go against great receivers every day in practice. If they want to see that film, they can go watch that. I feel like I showed up every week in the SEC. I feel like I said, I feel like we go against, I feel like I went against, you know, the top five receivers in this year's draft. And I mean, I feel like there's nobody that put up, you know, over, I'd say 50 yards on me, you know, so that's just how I feel about it. You know, like I said, it's a lot of guys in this draft though, you know, that have a great game to them. So
it's a good humble perspective. I got you. Christian Fulton is with us here. Former LSU cornerback, terrific prospect, first round talent for sure. National champion. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
You know, Christian, you just mentioned, you know, some of the adversity that you went through. And for those that don't know, it was back in 2017 where you were suspended for the season for a drug test irregularity. And, you know, it's easy to make a mistake like that, but I'm sure that scouts at the combine or even via FaceTime, however they're interacting with you right now, are asking you about those things. What is your response? Because obviously it didn't affect your play once you got back on the field in 18 and 19, but what is your response when people bring that up?
Like you said, just a mistake that I made, you know, being young at that time. I learned a lot from that situation. You know, I had a year and almost 18 months, I believe it was, you know, to reflect on it and learn from that situation. Just trying to show them that, you know, that's not who I am as a person on and off the field. Throughout that time, you know, I was still working out with the team, you know, going to practice, going to meetings. And I believe that just shows my dedication, you know, to football and just understanding that football can be taken away from me. So, I don't take it for granted at all. You know, I'm going 100%, whether that's practice or in a game.
Yeah, and it paid off for you. Obviously, you guys won a national championship, and you in that secondary were a big part of it. You know, now when you think about how, you know, coming through that adversity, you know, winning a national championship and getting ready for this next step into the National Football League, is there anything that you're scared of or worried about? Are you have that confidence, as BT was talking about? I've been through some bad stuff.
Yeah, it kind of going through all those things kind of, and once you see that you overcome those things, you know, you kind of build a confidence, a strong confidence at the next level, for going into the next level, I should say. But I feel like as far as like talking to the guys that came before me, you know, they kind of, I feel like they're giving me good tips, you know, on what to look out for going into the next level, or just things, you know, to be aware of. So I feel like that's really building my confidence even more, you know, just having guys that I can turn to, you know, for help if I need it at the next level.
Chris, you got about 30 seconds here. I just went to CBSSports.com. Christian Fulton, LSU corner, terrific talent, first rounder, obviously. And I wanted to see where CBS was placing you in the mock draft here. And I've got two pundits putting you at number 19 going to the Raiders. I'm sure you wouldn't mind playing for the Vegas Raiders. That would be pretty sick. And another at 25 to the Vikings, a terrific franchise. Listen, it's a blessing to get drafted anywhere. But if you had a choice, where would you who would you love to truly play for?
I'm gonna just say the home team, New Orleans Saints. You know, just growing up, you know, watching them, being a Saints fan, you know, it's always fun to play for the home team. You know, just being from New Orleans, going to LSU, so I'm sure it'd be a great thing for me. And you know, obviously, a family, I love it.
It's awesome, dude. Listen, you know, enjoy the ride. It's an unconventional ride this year's draft, but a tremendous career, a tremendous team accomplishment, and now the individual recognition comes for sure. Christian Fulton, LSU, great having you on, buddy. Stay healthy and enjoy the draft process for sure.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. Thank y'all for having me again.
All right, get to that Levy, man.
Good luck, man.
Get to the Chevy to Levy.
Yes,
the
sir,
Levy was dry. Just don't be drinking too much whiskey and rye. You got to stay in shape.
Yeah, don't take the whiskey with you. Don't take the whiskey with you, Christian.
Don McLean. Look up the song. Don McLean, American Pie.
No idea what the hell you're talking about.
Trust me, man. Hey, listen. Come on. We can enlighten the young man with some different music. Come on. It doesn't have to be made yesterday to be great.
True.
1970s,
good point.
Bro.
Good point. Good luck, Christian.
Hey, baseball actually showing something that remotely resembles a plan. We'll get to that coming up next, third hour.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.